Amen, amen, amen.
Praise God. You may be seated.
Thank you, Jesus. To God be the glory. You are worthy of it all, Lord. Is He worthy of it all to anybody? Is He worthy of it all? Because the problem with us Christians is He's worthy of almost of it all. He's worthy of most of it. He's worthy of this and that, but not this. And we need to get to the place where we just break open and say, God, You are worthy of it all. Of everything I have, of everything I am, You are worthy of it. Amen? Today, the title of my message is, if it ain't broke, break it. All right? If it ain't broke, break it. We're going to talk about the woman with the issue of blood. And I got a little scripture here I want you to listen to. But if it ain't broke, break it. Amen. Mark chapter 14. Verse 1 through 10. Now the Passover and the feast of unleavened bread were only 2 days away. Okay, so here, you know, I've been teaching y'all about the feast. We talked last week about Passover. So now when you read these scriptures, you're like, oh, feast. Okay, the Passover and unleavened bread was the next day. Okay, this says it's 2 days away. And I encourage you, before I go any further with this, to go ahead and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's encounter about this, because Matthew and Mark are the same and Luke and John are a little different. And so the question is it one story, or is it two stories, or is it three even stories of people breaking the box? Because two people are not mentioning their name, and the other two says Mary. So just it's something interesting if you want to do some study. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill Him, but not during the feast, because they said people may riot, because when the feast days come, man, everybody comes from everywhere to Jerusalem to be there during the feast. While He was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, the woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. Spikenard is an essential oil there. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on His head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of this perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, Jesus said. Why are you bothering her? She's done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can always help them at any time, but you will not always have me. She did that what she could. That's beautiful. She did what she could. She poured perfume all over my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. See, she didn't even realize what was going on there. She didn't even realize, what do you mean your burial? What? She was doing something out of her heart. She didn't even realize the prophecy that was happening right here, because He had been telling them, I'm going to die, I'm going to go away. And they're like, for my burial, what are you talking about? I tell you the truth. Listen to this. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Where else does it say that in the Bible? It talks about that. Hey, man, this right here, what she did, everybody's going to remember this. And y'all are chastising her, telling her to go away. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give Him money. They promised to give Him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand Him, Jesus, over. Two more scriptures really fast. John 14, 23. God is looking for those who will worship in spirit and in truth. And that's what she was doing. And also Romans 12:1, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And that's also what she was doing. It's time for us to break our box and become passionate for God. I think we are too ginger with God. I think we're too holy sometimes and too well refined. It's time that we have passion. I have passion a lot. I preach with passion. I talk with passion. Matter of fact, sometimes my passion is sometimes misunderstood, because when I'm talking to somebody, they think I'm mad at them, just because I get passionate when I'm talking. And I'm like, and they're like, man, don't be upset. I'm not upset. I'm passionate about this, right? I'm passionate about God. You know, have you ever had someone that you just wanted to be with so bad you couldn't stand it. Maybe whenever you're dating your boyfriend, girlfriend, hopefully your spouse right now. You know, maybe a child that went away for a while to the military, came back or something. You know, you just couldn't wait to be with them. You know, that's how we should be with Christ. When we leave here on Sundays, you know, we should say, I can't wait to my next encounter with you, God. I know you go with me. You'll never leave me for forsake me. But I can't wait to my next encounter. I can't wait till the time that I have in prayer with you today. I can't wait till the next time I get in your presence. You are here today because someone else broke their box. I love going out with Oasis, the older adult still in service. Miss Dolores is doing such an incredible, wonderful job with that group, and it's growing. And the thing is that I love going out with them because I always remind them, your job's not over. Y'all still have lots and lots of work to do. We need you. And I also remind them that if it wasn't for them praying, seeking God, praying and fasting and coming to church, we wouldn't have a church. If it wasn't for those people, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, keeping the fire burning, there would be no fire today, right? And we live in a very passionless world, especially when it comes to Christ. People are so embarrassed. They want to put God in a box. They want to put Him in for Sunday morning, and they want Him to be here. And then after service is over, they want to put Him back in a box in case they have a tragedy that week, and then they want to pull Him back out when they need Him. But other than that, they just want to keep Him in a box. They don't want Him to show up at work. They don't want Him to show up on the streets. They don't want His presence to show up in a grocery store. But do you know it's okay for the presence of God to show up at your work? You heard Pastor Craig a while ago preaching. I call him Pastor Craig because he was up here preaching a while ago, son. But you know, it's okay for God to show up at your work. That doesn't mean you're all gonna snot and cry and run around the room or whatever. It doesn't happen. But the presence of God can be there to bring comfort to someone who needs it. At the grocery store, when you're talking to someone and you meet someone and maybe God wants you to minister to them, His presence can be there. He's just not a Sunday God. And that's what she knew. You know, but we want to put God, we want to switch Him on and switch Him off. We want to put Him in a comfortable place. Churches today have become a place of convenience and comfort. Pastors today don't want to preach anything that's going to hurt anybody's feelings, that's going to make anybody uncomfortable. Because we live in this world where we want everybody to be comfortable. But here's the thing. When you're a Christian, it's not a comfortable walk. If you are living comfortably, that's exactly what the devil wants you to live. You can go to church, just be comfortable. Don't allow the preacher to say anything to step on your toes. Don't allow the preacher to say and talk about sin. Don't allow the preacher to talk about anything that's going to bother you, because I want you to feel comfortable, to be able to go back next week and think you're doing good. And that's exactly what the enemy does. And that's what people have become. Because they're so concerned about numbers. I just want to get people in the building. It's not even about souls. It's about I want to get people in the building. I want people in the building. I want every one of these seats filled. But why? So they can hear the word of God, the gospel, and they can turn their hearts to Jesus. But we don't want it to bleed over into our business. We don't want to bleed over to our family time. We don't want it to bleed over till our dinner time when we're sitting around the table. Why can't we talk about God around the table and feel His presence even there? We chase our own desires with free passion. We have crazy passion to chase our desires. Why aren't we a God chaser the same way? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. See, it's our time to cry out. It's our time to cry out to God for forgiveness and help and love and compassion. It's our time to abandon everything in our lives and say, God, it's all about you. I love what the prayer of Sir Francis Drake said. He said, disturb us, Lord, when we are too pleased with ourselves. I love that. When our dreams have come true because we dream too little. When we arrive safely because we have sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord. Let's see here. Evan Roberts in the Welsh Revival said, bend us, O Lord. Like I said, we're too comfortable. We don't want to dream big. We don't want to believe big. You know, we don't want to, you know, there's all kind of miracles that have been happening here. And hopefully if you didn't believe in them, you do now, because I'm a living one. You know, we talked about Elise being a miracle. God has done so much in our lives, in our church. There's no reason why we shouldn't believe. And the thing is we should quit being so comfortable swimming at ankle deep and knee deep and waist deep water and go out into God and swim and get over our heads where we have to depend on Him as our lifesaver. But we want people to be so, we call it seeker friendly now. Don't say nothing. You just want to smile and be happy and the joy of the Lord is my strength. And you don't want to preach the word. You just want to talk about the love and the joy of God and never talk about anything else that would bother people. We'll put God into any shape or form to try to make people feel comfortable. You know, that doesn't work. Because when you do that and you make everybody comfortable, there's no conviction power of the Holy Spirit. And without the conviction power of the Holy Spirit, there's no life change. The Scripture says, no man cometh to the Father but through me. That's what the Holy Spirit says. The only way that you go, to the Father is if the Spirit draw you. The Spirit does only draw you through conviction. And if everybody's happy and comfortable, and I don't never say anything that steps on your toes, I don't ever challenge you to be better. I don't ever challenge you to stop sinning, to give up that sin, to give up that the bitterness, unforgiveness, to stop the things in your life, to challenge you to do the right things, to pay your tithes, to give, to serve, to love, to treat people nicely and love on people, then none of that is ever there. It's just you're good. No, don't worry about it. You're fine. Everybody's happy. That's not what it's about. We want the newest message, the new idea, the newest illustration. Those things are wonderful. I love those things. I was the king of illustrations when I was a youth pastor. Almost every single illustration, every message I did had some kind of grand illustration. And I love those things. But without those things, without the conviction power of the Holy Spirit, nothing happens. It's just like reading a storybook or watching a play. We want to have revival, but we don't want it to cost us nothing. We want to have revival, but it has to be on our terms. We want to have revival with everybody that's comfortable. God will only come whenever you ask Him to come. Say, God, I want you to come. He will inhabit the praises of His people. You know, you have to watch for your moment. When is your moment where you just break through and you just give it all to God? Are you coming? Are you coming into service looking for that breakthrough moment when you feel the presence of God, where you just can go after Him with all that your mind, soul, and strength? Are you coming to church saying, God, what moment are you going to have where I just lose myself in worship? What moment are you going to have when pastor's preaching that I'm just going to be so zoned in that he's going to say something that's going to radically change my life and I'm going to cling to it and I'm going to walk in that? Lord, I can't wait till the altar part, God, where I can come down and I can just break my box before you. See, they were in Simon's house. Another one of the other scriptures says that they were at Mary's house Luke or John. But they were sitting around this table, and they don't have high table back chairs. It was a very low table, and they had cushions around, and you laid at the table kind of like this with your legs out and stuff. It was very nice, very, very comfortable. There was lots of candles around and stuff like that, candlesticks. It was incense around that they smelled the oils from different things that people had on. And the light was in the center of the table. They walked around, and the guys knew that if it was 2 days, or another scripture says 6 days, before Passover, they knew Passover was coming. Everybody was coming in, and they're like, listen, we've got to get him tonight. This is our opportunity. We have to get him now. Catch him in a lie, catch him doing something wrong, because when Passover comes and we arrest him, it's going to be a riot. It's going to go crazy, and there's no possible way we're going to be able to do this. So we have to do it. So they're walking outside and they're looking at each other and they're winking. They're like, we got this. You know, somebody else is up. Yeah, it's done. We're going to do this tonight. You know, giving the little signs and stuff and doing little things like that. And everybody's walking around outside. And outside the door, you know, Mary is there. And a lot of people think that in the story, it is Mary Magdalene who had seven demons and was cast out. And she just followed God. And I'm going to preach on Mary Magdalene in a couple of weeks. But the thing is that I love that she's just walking around and nobody really notices her. Because in that day, in that culture, women meant nothing. Their voice meant nothing. Them being around meant nothing. They were very disrespected. Thank God Christ came and really elevated women like Mary Magdalene and Ruth and Esther and all these women and showed that women are valuable and that women have a place in the church and have a voice. Praise God for that. Amen. I heard one man. I ain't hear no women. Lord have mercy. But so she was walking around and nobody noticed her, and she was like, I got to get in there. But she's thinking that, you know, right before that, you know, Zacharias. I was talking about Lazarus. My mind's a mess up here. I'm thinking about 10 million things right now. But the thing is that Lazarus had just died. He had rose from the dead, right? Because Jesus called him out. Hey, Lazarus, come forth. So she's like, he saved her brother. She's seen all the things he's done. She has fallen head over heels, even more in love with him than she was. And she was like, man, I got to get to him. They're talking about killing him. I don't want him dead. I need to go in there and warn him or something. I got to figure out some kind of way to get in there possibly. Martha was inside serving food, and she was around. And inside they were trying to trick Jesus. They were trying to come in and trying to trick him, trying to talk to him, trying to say, hey, what is this? And they were interrupting the meal. And on the outside they were whispering. And it was just a big, big mess. It was a big mess going on. And they were going in there and they're like, we're going to get him tonight. And then all of a sudden she fixed her eyes on Jesus. And at that moment she had this overwhelming love and compassion for him. And all protocol went out of the door. She started walking past people and they came unhinged. They're like, what in the world is she doing here? What in the world does she think she is, just barging in here past us like this and acting as if we are not even there? And she did. She could care less if they were there. All she saw was Jesus. And she just said, just watch. And she fixed her eyes on Jesus. The whole room is still, so quiet. And nobody notices her. She's insignificant at the point to them. She walks in and she falls down because she has all this passion for him, because the passion of the protege is determined by the pursuit of the mentor. She had pursued him and she had cared about him and she was going after him with all her might, which created all this passion in her life. They did not talk to her. Nobody said nothing to her because they're like, she don't matter. What is she doing? Somebody needs to grab her. Somebody needs to take her out. But they don't understand who she is and how in love she is with Jesus. Mary thinks that if I can just get to him, I can maybe whisper in his ear, maybe, and tell him what's about to go on or something, you know. But at this moment, that was her original thought. But right now, she's like, I'm just so in love with, overwhelmed with my love for him. I just want to get to him. And she says, you know what I can do? I can get my alabaster box. And this is an alabaster jar right here. I got this from Israel several years ago, and it's just an alabaster jar, and it's like marble. It's really actually what it looks like. It looks like marble. And she had that full of spikenard, or pure nard, but spikenard, and about a year's worth of salary, they said. So some say that it was from that she was a prostitute possibly in the day, and because she had her hair down, and that she was a prostitute, and that was all her money she saved. Other theologians say that it was her dowry, that her, you know, a family has a dowry, and they get an alabaster box and put spikenard in there for a dowry for a husband to buy. And so either way, it was a lot of money. It was very valuable. And it's probably all that she had. And she said, I'll go get my alabaster box. I'll go get it and I'll come give it to him. And I'll show him that I'm gonna give you my all. This is all I have. This is all I have to me. This is all a year's worth of salary. And I saved it up and I got it. Now I have nothing. I'm just gonna give all of it to you. And she came in there to give it to him. And she goes and gets the box and she walks in there. She fixes eyes on him. And as soon as she steps in the door, the room gets deathly silent. And she goes to get ready to hand on that box. And she just gets so overwhelmed with love. She just shatters and breaks that box on the ground. And that beautiful anointment of oil just flows everywhere. And whenever you don't, if you know anything about essential oils, it really flows and it just smells. I got right here, this is the hand sanitizer, but it's thieves' oil. And it's so potent. You probably can smell it on the front row, but in a few minutes after service, when I come by you, you'll probably smell it on me. You'll probably smell it on me. Ooh, it's strong. But open my nose up. But the thing is that's how it was. It was in him, and so it put it on his hand, on his feet. It broke on the ground. It was seeping into the concrete or the carpet, whatever they had there. And she was stepping over people's legs, and she was like, it's all here. And she began to cry. Scripture says she began to cry with tears on his feet, and she began to wash his feet, and she began to take and dry his feet with her hair, and she probably took that oil and lathered his legs up and just rubbed his feet and just preciousness and just adoration to him and just cared for him. Because you know it was typical that whenever someone walked in the door to a house, they had a little basin there of water with a little bit of oil in it, and they would wipe their feet. And they would wipe their feet and wash their feet, because what would happen was, you know, you get a lot of dung and a lot of dirt and stuff because they had Jesus sandals on and it'd be really dirty. And so they would go in there and they would wipe their feet off. And so what Jesus was saying, look, none of y'all wash my feet. And here she is washing my feet with her tears. Drying, not with a towel. She threw in the towel. Ain't no, you know when you see a boxing match and they I can't fight no more, I'm done. They're done. They throw in that towel. That's what she did. She threw in the towel. She goes, I'm gonna wipe your dry your feet with my hair. And she got all this oil. She's wiping it in her hair. She's wiping it on his legs and his feet. And she's sitting there just all giving all that she has, stepping over everybody, saying, you know what? Y'all gotta move. This is my time. This is my moment. When was the last time that you had your moment with God that you just totally just you broke down and cried? That you just got on your knees before God. That you just, maybe you're not real, super emotional, but maybe the last time that you just raised your hands and surrendered. When's the last time that you just gave your all and you said, God, I just give you everything. You just prayed with such passion and such vigor. And you said, I love you so much, God. I just praise you and I love you. I want you. I just desire. You're just wanting so much for him just to leave heaven and stand right in front of you so you're just going to hug him and you're just going to hold him and his presence just endued you. When's the last time that you cared so much and you had that moment with God in worship that you just totally were abandoned to what you were thinking about, and you all of a sudden you're looking this way to the stage, and then you're worshiping, and later on you open your eyes up and you're like facing a different direction, you know, or you find yourselves on your knees, you find yourselves somewhere else. You know, I love Angelica. Every Sunday she's in here worshiping, and she don't care what nobody is. She's over here to the side. She ain't drawing attention to her. She's not doing nothing extravagant. But she's over here, and she's just in her own little worship. She's doing her. She don't care about y'all. She don't care that y'all are here. No disrespect, but she didn't come for y'all. She can, and you watch her on Sunday. She's worshiping God. She don't care what. She don't care. She don't care what they're saying up here. What they're doing. And when it comes for the announcements, she's just waiting for the next worship song to worship some more. She's like, I can read that online. Just get back to the worship. She's an intercessor. I know her. So that's how that is. So the thing is when was the last time that your love just outlasted everything for that reason? When's the last time that your devotion was not just a 2-page thing that you read, that it was a 2-hour episode with Christ? Doesn't have to be that long. I'm just saying, when is the last time that you lost yourself in reading or praying or even here in worship? When is the last time that you lost consciousness of your presence and you didn't even care what time it was? You didn't care how long the worship went on. You didn't care if you're going to miss your lunch appointment. When's the last time that you said, I just want to be in your presence, God? I don't care if I eat today. I don't care what happens. I don't care. 1 Kings 8 says the priests could not even minister in the temple because the glory of God was so powerful. They couldn't even talk. The glory of God was so powerful. They couldn't even do what they did. They couldn't minister. They couldn't do their stuff because the glory of God was so powerful. They lost themselves. I'm talking about being so desperate for Jesus that it takes your breath away. You know how when you see your girlfriend or your boyfriend when you're younger and you see them and your heart flutters and like that? I still remember the very moment that I knew that Jenna was my mom. Well, when I was 16, but then the second time was when we were young adults. I remember walking into church, walking in the room where she was, right there where she was at with all the young adults. We were all young adults, and I walked in that room. Right now it's an office, but at that time it was a classroom. And I walked in that room and I saw her, and it just something got in my throat. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I saw her, and I knew at that point. I hadn't felt that before. I wasn't thinking about it outside, but I saw her and my throat just grabbed me, and I was like, wow, whoo, but God, I'm okay now. I've been divorced, and I'm okay just being you. I don't need nobody else. I just want you now. And he's like, no, now, because you're okay with me, now you can have her. And I was like, okay. Okay, roger that, right? But she walked in with her desperation. She didn't care what nobody thinks. She didn't say, hello, brother, hello, Tuesday. No. She walked in with her passion, and she didn't care what nobody thought, what nobody said, and she jumped down and fell at his feet, broke her alabaster box, and she went crazy worshiping and adoration to him and magnifying his name. And she didn't care that they were talking. She didn't care about if they arrested her. She didn't care what happened at all. She was all about him. Most people, and she was just unhinged. Most people look for that centralness and that a life of calmness. But she was like, I gotta lay it all out. I've got to let it all out. You know, the statistics say that even pastors, ministers, only pray about 2 minutes a day. I'm like, well, Lord, I pray more than that, thank God. But we put it to a time. Okay, I got to pray. I got to read some scriptures. It becomes a chore. Reading the Bible and praying should not be a chore for us. It should be a time that you prepare for. You're going to go on a date with your girlfriend, your boyfriend. You prepare for that time. You go get all fancied up and stuff. We ain't got to do all that. But we got to prepare our hearts. And we got to look forward to that time. Whenever it becomes a burden and a chore, you might as well stop doing it because it's not for God. You're doing it to check off a list. We live in a world where people open a box and a little dab will do you. You know, we come to church. Excuse me. You know, hey, hurry up, get through the announcements. Go ahead and let's do worship. Let's go ahead and pray for the sick. Let's get to the word. You know, hey, that worship part is so important. That worship part is so important. And offering is worship itself. It's a part of the worship service. And we gotta not rush through the songs. We gotta camp out there sometimes when God's presence. Just like last week, I was telling the worship team in the back. Last week, you know, I don't know who all was here specifically versus today, but the thing is on the second song, man, Holy Spirit was already in the room. Last week, man, y'all opened up y'all's hearts. You broke that box. And you're like, I'm ready. I want to receive you. So many times we sing four songs and we're still not there. And Mike says, okay, I got to keep pressing in. Because I tell Mike, press in until we're ready. Because I don't want to get up here and preach to you when your heart is not ready to receive the word. Worship waters your heart. Worship waters you and gets you passionate. But we're so concerned about what she's doing, and he's doing, where they're at, about lunch, what time it is, and this, that, and the other. We forget about our pursuit of the Father, being that God chaser. How can we come into presence, in his presence, asking him for things when we won't give it all? He asked us to give our all to him. But we come to him, hey, I know I hadn't given my all to you, but I need a blessing. I need healing. I need help. I need this. He's like, but you give it all to me and I'll give it back. You know, whenever Sydney was younger, she wanted to buy a present for me or Gina for our birthday or Christmas or whatever. Okay, we would give her money for her to buy a gift to give back to us. Right? I gave to myself. Right? But that's what happens with God. God's like, look, I'll give it to you. Just give it back. I'll give you all your money. Just give it. I'll give you the passion. Just give it back. I'll give you everything you need. Just offer it back. Give your all to me, and I'll give it back to you. You give it to me, and I'll give it to you. It's not always him giving to us and getting back. Most of the time, if we give to him, he gives it all back. Amen? But we're here today, we always got to have an exit strategy. Now today they have these, you know, these prenups that you get married. It's not even a commitment no more. The other day somebody said, oh, I got a prenup for the first 5 years of a marriage in case she decides to leave. I'm like, what? First 5 years, after 5 years, it's really a love. She really loves you then? You know, it's crazy how we do. We always got an exit strategy. Same way with God. We always got an exit strategy. We're never all in with him. We always say, well, just in case this doesn't work, I'll go back over here. I'll do this. I can always got this to go to. We need to give our all to God. Ephesians 5:2 says, live a life of love just as Christ loved and gave himself as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. See, his worship to God was fragrant. It smelled. And so other scriptures says that about how our worship to God is a fragrance. It smells to him. Our worship smells. That doesn't make sense to us because we don't understand the spirit realm. But in the spirit realm, worship smells fragrantly to God. Do you ever look at your wife or your husband or your kids when you're in the room with them and just think, without saying nothing to them, I love them so much? You know, you ever just look at them, oh, that's my man, that's my girl, whatever. You know, do you ever do that? You ride down a road, you look over there, you're like, oh, I'm so lucky. You know, don't answer any of these questions, honey, just in case. But I do. I look at her that way. I don't need her to tell me just in case. But we all should look at God. When's the last time that you looked at God, at God's creation, and said, God, I love you? When's the last time that you looked at the Bible and said, God, thank you for putting all this in words for me so I can learn? When's the last time you said, God, thank you for prayer? Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to be with me, to guide me. Jesus, you left. When's the last time that you really thought about God? Oh, I just love God so much. When's the last time you told somebody? You just said, I just love God so much. He's my everything. But she realized it was her turn. So she came in there and she gave her offering. And she wanted to talk to him, but she was overwhelmed by her love for him. And she just broke that alabaster box and it shattered everywhere. She didn't care what anybody thought. She wasn't worried about getting cut. She just fell down on his feet, crying and bawling there at his feet because of her love for him and all that he had done for her. And he smashed it. But the thing is, that's how we need to come before God, like that alabaster box. She broke that box. If you take the top off and you pour a little bit, then you can put the top back on and you got this. But when you smash that alabaster box, when you break the box, the jar, whatever, made out of alabaster, it's shattered. You can't put it back together. When we are broken, when we are shattered, we need to come to God. And we need to come to Him broken. Because He takes broken things and He puts them back together. That's the way that God, that's how you give your all to Him. I'm broken. God, I break my spiritual alabaster box. That little box that's holding the anger. That little box that's holding whatever is all, means everything to you. My anger, my bitterness, that doesn't mean everything to me. Well, you're certainly not, God's not your everything, so you got something else in that bottle. What's in that bottle that you have that means everything to you, that you're willing to give and just slam it down and just break it before Him? The unforgiveness, that addiction, what is it in that box that you just need to go before Him and say, God, I give you my all. This is what's holding me back. I love you so much. I'm not going to allow this diary, this money, this situation, this sin to hold me back from you any longer. Maybe she was thinking, you know, around where Peter was, Jesus washed Peter's feet, and John 13:8, when Peter said, you can't wash my feet, Jesus. And Jesus said, unless I wash your feet, you have no part of me. Maybe it was in John 13:16, the latter says this, the lady, when he said that the servant is no greater than the master. Maybe it's in 1 John 2:2, where he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but the whole sins of the world. Maybe it was 2 Corinthians 2:14 and 15. We are the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ to the saved and to the unsaved. Maybe she was thinking about these situations that she was in when she was around Jesus periodically and hearing Him say things. And then she wanted to show Him her undying love for Him. And whatever you give to God, He will always give back. We got to break the box. Sharing Christ, you know, at church, sharing Christ at work, praying, reading the Bible, getting on your face before God, listening to worship music, all that is a breaking of the box. But there's always comes that moment in your time with God that you just break everything. I'm not talking about cracking it open, maybe just putting a few cracks in it. I'm saying where you just crack that box and you say, God, I am all yours. Everything. You mean everything to me. I desire you more than anything on this earth. We desire so many things more than we desire God and call ourselves Christians. We're all the time loving this, loving that, and we talk about how great this is, how wonderful that is. We talk about other things all the time about how great these things are in our lives. How many times do we talk about how great God is in our lives? Because we put Him aside. You know why? We're thinking about the other things. We're thinking all the time about how great it is. But we put God back in His little box and say, stay there till I decide that I want to talk about you again. Everyone around you will be affected by that sacrifice. Mike, can you come, please? She's weeping. She's slapping her hands in the oil and rubbing it on his feet and in her hair and drying his feet with her hair. She lives in the opposite. Like I said, this could be Mary, Martha's sister, or it could be Mary Magdalene. It could be, and this one was unknown here. But if it was the one who was a prostitute, she lived in opposites in this moment. Because she gave it all to God, where her hair used to seduce men and she would flip her hair to seduce a man. Now she's wiping the feet of Jesus with her hair. Her eyes that she used to seduce men and look at men with a seduction way, now her eyes are focused totally on Jesus and looking at the feet of Jesus. Her hands that used to caress men's body are now caressing the feet and washing the feet of Jesus. Her lips, who used to speak seductively to men and sexual, now are kissing the feet of Jesus. Her body, who was once a tool of income, is now laid prostrate on the floor on her belly at the feet of Jesus. And then you got Judas Iscariot over here. We could have used that for something else. How in the world can the presence of God be in that room like it was for her? And then all of a sudden, he's over here acting like a jerk. How in the world is over here? She's laying before him, breaking her everything. And over here, you know, because of the passion that she has for God. And he has no relationship. And you find that out very soon after this, that he betrayed him with a kiss. Isaiah 49:23, kings will be your foster parents, fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. They will bow down before you with their faces to the ground, and they will lick the dust off of your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. That was in Isaiah, way before this day. Her hair was her glory, and she was using her glory to give glory to God. There's all kind of other things on here. I've got a lot more notes. A lot more. But the thing is that shortly after that, they grabbed him. Judas went up and kissed him, betrayed him. And when he betrayed him and kissed him, I smell worship. And then he went there and they took him to the all the guys, or the guards were coming and the guards were tying him up and they smelled worship. They put him on a cross and they were, the guards were at his feet and they stabbed him in his side, and while they stabbed him in his side, his feet were right there at their face, and they smelled worship. They took him off and they took him to the tomb, and Mary Magdalene was there the whole entire time, and they took him to the tomb and they were putting him in the tomb and they smelled worship. It was a reminder everywhere. It was preparing for his burial. Whenever you are in the presence of God, people will notice it. They may not, God smells it. They may not smell it, but they will see it. They will sense it. They will know there's something. You ever had somebody that you've seen that there's something different about you? I've met many people, and I would even say it just to test the theory and test my discernment. I would say, you know Jesus, don't you? Oh, yes, sir. Oh, he's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah, absolutely. Because there's something different about them. Whenever Moses was on a mountaintop and he was receiving the Ten Commandments and he would come down, it says that he would come down so often that it was so bright and glowing that he had to wear a veil over his face because he glowed. You don't get to glowing without spending time with God. And I just think it breaks God's heart that we don't want to spend any more time with Him, that we don't want to give our all. And it's not that you spend more time with Him so you love Him more. It's a quality time that you spend with Him. Whatever time you have with Him, if you break that box every time, you're looking for that moment in worship time where you just break that box. You're like, God, I'm totally yours. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what's happening. We've had people in the past that wanted to get saved, and in the middle of worship, they didn't care. They broke that box, and they come running out to the altar and bowed here at the altar. They couldn't wait. Their moment overwhelmed them. They're convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit and their love and desire to be with Christ. They come down to the altar and prayed. So I encourage you today to take your box, your jar, whatever it is, and break it before God. And whatever's in that jar, once you break it, realize it's poured out. It's poured out before the Lord. And you cannot keep it. You can't get it all back together. We one day we had anointing oil that busted right here, in this section right here. And there's a whole bottle of anointing oil right there in that section. And we couldn't, you could rub it all you want to. It just soaked in. And that's what essential oils does. It soaks into your skin. And when it does, you can smell it. And our worship soaks into our skin. When we're in the presence of God, His presence soaks into our skin. And it changes us. It soaks into our heart. And it radically changes us. So I challenge you today to quit being so selfish and loving other things and not truly giving your all to God. I challenge you today to take that alabaster box and just shatter it. I don't care if you got to go home and get a jar or a box and beat it with a hammer. I don't care. I mean, some people need to do physical illustrations like that. I started to have one up today and just have a hammer or something and just cover the whole stage with plastic and just break something. But I just wanted to tell you that today. And God just put it on my heart to come share that with you today. To be a God chaser. To break your box before Him. Find that moment when you can just give. And that moment's just not in worship. Every day there should be a moment where you just lose yourself in Christ. And your dedication to Him. Would you bow your head and close your eyes, please? God, we love You today. We praise You. We honor You, sir. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor Doug, I need to break my box because I am not a Christian, and I need to break my box and I need to crush it and crash it because I'm not on the right path. If I died today, I don't know where I would go. It certainly wouldn't be heaven, but I want to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to be saved. I want to break my box and give my all to Him and try this thing out. Would anybody raise their hand and say they want to be a Christian? They want to be receive Jesus today? Anybody at all? Who would say, Pastor Doug, I give my all, but I really don't give my all. I give a lot. I give most. I give almost. But I don't always give my all. Pray for me that in my worship time, at church, at home, at work, wherever I'm at, that I would be more in awe of God. And I would recognize Him and want more of Him. That He would give me more of a desire for Him. That I would seek His face. And I wouldn't care what nobody else said around me. I don't care where I was at. If I had a moment that I needed to praise God, that I would praise God and I would give Him the glory. That I would love Him so much and care for Him so much that the place I'm at does not matter anymore because I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. He wasn't ashamed of me to sit there naked on a tree. I can't be ashamed of Him. I want to give my all to God. Anybody want to raise your hand? Amen. Lord, help me as pastor to do more and love You more and to care for You more. God, we just love You today. God, we just praise You today. We thank You for Your presence. We worship You. Hallelujah.